Welcome to the Liars Club. This is where we take our guests, we tell them to give us the truth, give us a lie, we figure out which is which. I'm Jessica Wellington.
I'm Felicia Michaels.
And you're about to get lied to.
Our first guest tonight is one of my favorite people here at the Comedy Store. She started off here at the Comedy Store as a waitress and worked herself all the way up into headlining and working the main room here at the Comedy Store. She opens up for Dice Clay. You've seen her all over the country. Please give it up for Miss Eleanor Kerrigan.
And our other guest, Rich Slayton, is a doorman here at the world-famous Comedy Store. He is a comedian, and he has a great podcast called Crime with Three Eyes. It is wonderful. You should check it out. Please welcome Rich Slayton. All right, here at the Liars Club, we like to do a little theme before we get into our truths and lies.
Guys, but today's theme is siblings. I had a secret agenda for wanting siblings to be the theme today because I wanted to do the show, The Liars Club, because I grew up with a pathological liar, a.k.a. my brother. And it's always fascinated me that he was a liar. And I think the reason my brother was a liar, because my dad was also a very handsome fella. He looked like Robert Redford. My dad did look like Robert Redford. But my dad could tell tall tales. And he was very entertaining to people. Like, he would always say, when I went to high school with Sally Fields, right? And, like, I have critical thinking, I guess. And I would be like, yeah, but I don't think Sally Fields went to high school in Stockton, California, Dad. You know what I mean? Like, well, I don't think my brother got that, but I think my brother became a liar because he saw how easily my dad could make jokes and make up little stories. And I think my brother thought that's what you had to do to gain people's trust. And I'm totally
sure. That's true. It's what he learned.
What if he did go to school with a girl named Sally Fields, just not.
Or what if Sally Fields is like, she's a Diaz brother. She's from Stockton. She can fight. She says where she is. Every time you meet her, she's like, Stockton, motherfucker. You're like, Sally Fields is hard. I did not expect that.
Listen, you guys can have your fantasy about my dad being truthful about going to school about Sally Fields, but I don't think when Sally Fields was filming Gidget, she was at the beach hanging out with the Beach Boys and said, oh, fuck, I got to get to chemistry class in Stockton, California. I'm just saying. No? So I know, Eleanor, you have a lot of siblings.
Well, that's weird that you bring that up. No, I'm just kidding. That's why I thought when I saw you were saying about siblings, I'm like, oh, that's why they asked. They were like, oh, who has a mom that had a uterus that worked overtime?
Yes.
That's my mama.
How many siblings do you have?
I have 9 brothers and sisters. Wow. And it's weird because my dad.
So 10 altogether.
Yeah.
Wow. My same father and mother.
Same mother, father.
Wow.
I almost said motherfucker. Anyway, sorry.
I mean, also the same motherfucker.
Yeah.
To
it
be
was
fair.
Weird. It was weird, but it worked. And but I pulled back. But my dad would tell stories too, but it was more for like entertainment nonsense, whatever.
Right, right.
And then my mom will always say, oh, your brothers are just like your father. They're always lying. Like, oh, I'm like, oh, that's terrible. But then sometimes my brother would tell stories. Like my brother Billy, he's pretty bad because he was always in trouble. So he would always come up with lies to get out of it.
You know, we didn't.
And so my mom would always think he was lying. And then I'd be like, wait, I was there. Hold on a second. Like some of it he'd say because it was so outrageous that she would be like, oh, he's just lying, you know? And I'm like, wow, he got away with that. That's pretty brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
Just because, oh my, he got away with all kinds of stuff.
There was this kid in the neighborhood. I got to be careful with names, but.
She always does this
mouth.
Too.
Because I don't know who's listening. My luck. My mom still lives in the same row home we grew up in. So we're all still in the same. They're all still in the same neighborhood. So you got to be careful.
Anyways. The same muscle is still in the same corner.
You don't have to give out their social security numbers.
You just need the last name and they know what it is. So,
right.
But this kid, it was two boys and one little girl. But the two boys were like me and my brother Billy's age. And their dad owned a bar, a corner bar. And he used to they had a lot of cash. Always in the basement. So the older kid was like, hey, let's go rob my father.
Fuck.
And we were like, all right. Well, but here's the thing. I was a part of spending the money, but I was never a part of going in and getting the money.
Huh? Were you the lookout?
No.
Okay.
They did it legit because it was his kid. So they'd walk in and be like, Dad, I'm going, blah, blah, blah. And he'd go downstairs and just grab wads of cash. So he was almost like buying his friends.
Right.
And they would do it. This went on for a long time, and it was a lot of money. And they got caught. So the kid confessed, and he said he named everybody that was doing it with him. So the father was like, yeah, right? He's not in our neighborhood anymore. But anyway, so the father was like, all right, I'm telling all your parents. Because they were young. We were young. And so he told all the parents. And the one kid, they all stuck to the same story. Because the older kid was like, if we ever get caught, this is the lie. Uh-huh. This is what we say we did, you know.
Right.
And they all stuck to it. And one kid told the truth, and his name was David. I don't remember his last name. I just remember his first name.
The Jewish boy.
And I just remember he told the truth, and every parent was like, well, that kid's lying his ass off. And we were dying. He got in so much trouble because they all stuck to the story. I'm like, dude, this is South Philly. If you're in something, you're in it.
Right,
otherwise,
right.
Somebody's going to get hurt.
Well, was the story that they were telling that was the lie, was it like we were just trying to help the homeless?
No, Dad, we were, it was like, Dad, we just need it for this and we just need it for that. And I didn't take all of that. I only took this much. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't, because it was, I believe, like in the way big thousands that they were into.
Wow.
And they were only, I mean, we were all, I was 11, Billy's 12, were Irish twins. So, and then the other kids were our age. And then there was my older brother, Charlie.
It's like robbing the coin jar on a massive level.
Yeah, and they were like, no, we only did it this day and this, you know, this time and this time. We didn't do all that, Dad. And then that kid told the truth. Like, we went in there almost every day, Dad. And they're like, that kid's lying his ass off. Like, it was so great. We still tell that story and laugh.
So did you get in trouble? So did
no.
all the kids
No,
because
they
trouble?
Didn't rat me out because I wasn't a part of any of that. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't go in. It would just be like, yo, we're going to Center City and we're going to buy shit in places they would never let us in.
Right.
You're doing
so
that
like,
pretty
you
woman
know, put,
scene.
Put your good t-shirt on, you know. I'm like,
yeah,
we're going to go to Wanamaker's and see how long it takes them to kick us out. You know?
You guys work on commission, right?
Yeah.
Look at this.
That one. It's so embarrassing.
That's
wow.
great.
Well, that's a good story.
That was pretty bad. I just remember that poor kid.
Yeah, did he get beat up, that kid that told
no,
the
no,
truth?
No, but they would torture him in school, so their whole family moved.
Yeah.
I think the younger brother killed himself. It wasn't our fault.
Right.
I mean.
Wow. Way to bring it down.
Sorry.
Well, and South Philly, you have to clarify if someone killed themselves that they really killed themselves. You can't just be
true. We had a lot of people that would rap. And then what they would do, it was worse. Never doing anything to somebody is even worse than actually beating somebody up or whatever. Because, like, we had this one kid, he did the same thing. He ratted on a situation, and he wound up jumping off the Walt Whitman Bridge. And I remember them all going, oh, well.
I guess he was sad.
Wow.
We didn't do it.
He held a lot
They
of
just
guilt.
Stopped
now
talking to him, and they cut off all his friends. They cut off all his, like, anybody that would talk to him. It was like he was already dead to them.
Uh-huh.
And so they kind of, and they were younger than me. They were my little sister's generation. It was her friends that did this. And I was like, whoa.
As adults or?
Oh, no, they were kids.
Oh,
they were
Jesus.
Kids. They got in trouble for beating up an old black guy. And then.
You got in trouble for that in Philly?
I know. Is that weird?
How old were these kids?
When they did that, about 14.
Wow.
14 or 15. So they were just like little, you know, thugs, whatever you want to call them. And it was a retaliation to something else. But it's like, why would you go after an older gentleman?
Right.
Like, why? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, we did that all our lives because we grew up outside the project. So, you know, one person would get jumped and then it would be like, all right, well, we'll wait for when there's only two of that. You know what I mean? That went back and forth with black, white, Italian, Irish, Polish, whatever you could think of. Like,
right.
You know, it was neighborhood, jeez, territorial things.
Which one of your siblings was the ass kicker? Which one was the...
Oh, my brother Jimmy. Yeah, he could still snap a neck easily.
Yeah.
Go figure, that's my dad's name.
Jimmy? Mm. Yeah, my dad was terrible too. Because their hands were like Andre the Giant's hands, but not on a giant. So it was weird. That my dad would like hit
dick
things.
Dick pics
and
must
and you'd
be
like,
completely disappointed. Yeah.
I always wondered that. Like, if Jimmy
hey, Brian,
like,
can I borrow your hand for a second? I need to change the perspective on this dick shot.
I swear, it's my hand, I swear.
We got to bring it, because I didn't get the hands, I got the feet, so I always have, like, don't look.
What size feet do you
have? They seem very normal.
To you.
What size feet
I have? Small feet.
A 10. You wear a 10?
Yeah.
And wow.
So, like, all my ex, like, one of my exes would be like, you have flippers, that's not feet, that's disgusting. And so...
They're not thick, they're just long and flat.
Yes.
So. Yeah, but you're tall, they're very skinny. So that makes sense to me.
I should be probably 4 inches taller for these, but yeah.
Well, I have a confession if we're going to talk about feet, if you don't mind the intro.
Yeah.
Well,
okay.
Is this a lie?
When I was a kid, in seventh grade, I snapped my ankle. And so I have one foot. I can't believe I'm confessing it to you people in the belly room. I have one foot that's bigger than the other foot by like a size. But as you have that too, so you have a 9 and a 10.
I do, and I used to in what was that store, Payless?
Uh-huh.
I think you could. They used to have the shoes out in the box. They used to have them out.
You
right?
could switch them out.
They still do.
Oh, they hated me because I would switch them.
Wow!
But they're supposed to check the sizes when they check you out.
Not if you put them on your feet and walk out without paying for them.
Strong move.
The Philly move.
Shout out to my girls in South Philly.
So, Rich, what is? Tell us a story about one of your siblings.
I only have one.
Okay.
My parents are good people, so I only have one sibling.
Oh, okay. That's a good way to say Jewish.
Yeah, and, right. Jews keep it simple now. No.
They're smart.
The
Hasidics
poor Jews
go crazy.
Yeah, the curly Q ones, they go ape shit. I had a friend who was one of 13.
Oh yeah, they go yeah. Irish Catholic.
They all, they on you. Yeah, oh yeah, they packed them all into one stupid van that never crashed for some reason.
Yep.
So, but I only have. I liked them fine. It was just too many people in one house. He slept. My buddy Asher slept like in the laundry room. It was like a bad West Side Story type situation. Uh-huh. I have one sister. She's 4 years younger than me, and I was the one who broke. Like if you're one of two, the first kid is the one who gets all the rules, and the second kid is the one where the parents go, rules really aren't that important anymore because we're tired now.
Right.
So. I got all the hammer dropped on me for everything. Uh-huh. She got away with everything. When she was in high school, I got her first job as a hostess at a restaurant where I was a maitre d'. And then, but I was a college age person. She was 15, 16. She was 16 years old. She started going out to bars with the other people from there. My parents were like, screw it. Who cares? she had good grades. So if you have good grades in my family, it doesn't matter what you do. You can kill somebody in front of my parents. And they're like, well, at least she has a 4.2. So you're fine.
Right.
So I did my junior year of school in Scotland, my junior year of college in Scotland, Edinburgh, Scotland. Oh, yes. Fantastic, fantastic country. And I quickly fell in with a group of guys who we all became a poker squad. Uh-huh. We would play poker 5-6 nights a week. We would play in local tournaments and then use those tournaments to fish for people to bring back to our home games so we could then fleece them at our home games. We didn't cheat the guys, but we would just go easy on each other and then go real hard at them. And so we'd bring two or three guys back, and they'd leave a few hundred pounds lighter, and we'd eat for the week.
Uh-huh.
So one of those guys, who his nickname in the group was Brick. We were called the Channel 4 News Team after Anchorman, and we all had nicknames from the squad. And his nickname was Brick, which is the dumbest character from the show, from the movie. He, that when the school year ended, came back. He got a job in Sacramento, where I'm from. He came to live with me for the summer. And we spent the whole summer just getting drunk, playing poker, having a good time. And my sister was going into her senior year. About 9 months later or so, I'm sleeping at his place, and we're getting drunk talking one time, and my sister comes up, and I'm like, hey, you know, it's so great. I loved having you here this summer. She thinks of you like a brother. Like, it's so awesome. And he's kind of like, Rich. And I'm like, yeah, like, she really looks up to you a lot. It's fantastic. He's like, dude. And
I see it coming.
And I can't, yep. And that's that's when I finally saw it coming. I'm like, wait, are you fucking my sister? And he goes, and I go, holy shit, you're fucking my sister.
How old was your sister at this
17,
time?
17. He was 23.
Delicious.
Wow.
Yeah, no, it's I know it's a normal Philly gap.
Yeah,
17
come
and
on,
23.
Man, that's sorry, not bad. Sorry,
15 and 23 is the normal. I didn't want to upsell
so
too much.
She was 17 or 15?
17 now. 17. She's 17.
That's not bad, is it?
Not bad. When you invite your buddy to stay at your house for the summer, he probably shouldn't start plowing your underage sister partway through it.
Yeah, that's
like that's kind of
underage.
It's usually it's like, look, I'm letting you use my bathroom. You don't need to use my sister too. Like,
yeah, but it was very convenient, and it's like a
well.
Like
apparently,
she's right
she went right. after him. He did not pursue her. But
what year was this? What era? We need to
this
understand
the era. This is 2004. 2005-ish?
Yeah, he's
maybe
a
she's
then.
A horny kid.
No, 2005. Come on.
I was a horny kid.
Yeah,
I
who mean, wasn't?
All right.
I was 17 and I was dating a guy that was 28.
Yeah, that's garbage. That's garbage behavior really? From his part. Yeah.
See, she's wow. horrier than we are.
Yeah, oh. Look,
I was
when I was 17. I would have smashed 28 easy, but so I'm shit can drunk at his house. So I do the drunk thing where I'm like, oh man, it's fine. I'm glad you guys get along. I wake up the next morning hungover and angry, and I just he was living at UCLA, so I didn't even tell him I left. I just got in my car and drove. I just got in my car and left his place, and I didn't see him again. Until that was the summer of 2006. I didn't see him again until that Thanksgiving when my family surprised me by having him come to Thanksgiving.
He was your gift.
Yeah, he was wow. the.
Did he date your sister for a while?
They dated just... for a while. They dated for like two years and change.
Oh, did wow. your parents know?
Oh yeah, they were totally fine. Again, I was the first kid, so nothing that I did was okay.
Oh, I see. Okay,
but
yeah,
for her, it was
all
like
hits.
I broke down the walls.
Got it.
You broke down wow. the walls for your sister to get some cock.
Yeah. Yeah, it's my fault. I
she sounds so sweet it. Saying that, doesn't she?
Yeah, I love cock. It. It's the best.
That's a weird.
The
way
greatest
to look
voice.
At it. Yeah. Eleanor, tell us a story about yourself, and we'll pepper you with a bunch of questions.
So my mom would love to watch hockey, and we were always punished for one reason or another, my
right,
siblings.
I get that.
And at this point, yeah, because there was a time where I was punished for a whole summer.
Well, when
my
you have 10
Karen,
kids, I can just imagine
yeah,
you screaming at
everybody.
Yeah, I have
two kids, and I'm surprised I haven't broken an arm.
Yeah.
You know, I have 10 kids.
I don't know how my mom Jeez. Didn't yeah. just say, look, just go. Just uh-huh. leave. I'm going to stay here, you guys. Put the rubber on the walls and leave me alone. This is crazy. Like, they're crazy right. people. So Karen was probably 16 or 17, my older sister. And so she was dating a guy named Rudy Valentino. That's a real thing. Rudolph Valentino uh-huh. was his name.
Are you serious?
I swear to God. So
really?
She wow. was dating him, and she was punished for staying out too late with him. So my mom, they were fighting, and I was probably like six. She's 10 years older, so I was probably like six or seven. So uh-huh. she was 16 or 17. And they were fighting, and she was like, you're not going out, you know. And then on the radio, it was a real bad storm in Philadelphia, like a crazy storm. And the Flyers were playing that night. No one could get to the Spectrum. So they said on the radio, if you can get here, we'll give you free hot dogs and free hot chocolate. And my mom was like, oh, we're going to the Flyers game. Because she's poor. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. So she's like, screw this. We're not watching on TV. We're going out. You got to understand, it was like 18, 20 inches of snow. The other team barely made it. So nobody was going out. There was no cars. We only live a mile from Eagles and the sports complex. Mm-hmm. So my mom put us on a sled. Me and Billy were on a sled. Because we're six
be
and seven.
Sled.
Mushing.
Dude, we were tiny. We were holding on to each other. And my mom was pulling the sled. And Johnny and Charlie were a little bit older than us. Uh-huh. So they were walking. And we walked. And she made my sister Karen stay in to watch Edie. She was furious because Edie was baby. And she was furious. And Bobby. I think Bobby stayed too. I'm not sure. Or did Bobby come? I don't remember. I just remember maybe Bobby was with us because I was holding on to somebody. Billy was behind me. And at one point, I'm like, Mom, Billy fell. He fell in a snowdrift. But it was like blocks that we went without picking him up. And when we went back, Billy like came out of the snow like, hey, that was cool. And he just, and then all of a sudden we saw this thing moving, and it was our dog, Fluffy. And I was like, oh, my God. And she's a sheep and poodle, so she's covered in snow, and she loved the snow, Fluffy. She was like a latchkey dog. She would go all over the neighborhood,
right.
And she was like shaking her. And we're like, we can't bring Fluffy to the Spectrum. So my mom was like, go home, yelling at the dog. We're going to get hot dogs. We're going to get hot dogs and hot chocolate. She's like, go home. Karen's home, you know, whatever. She's just yelling at the dog. And we went, and there was about 20 people in the Spectrum that night. We got free hot dogs, hot chocolate.
How many
and we
hot
watched
dogs did you guys
the Broad
through?
Street Bullies. I don't remember. All I know is we were on the glass, but we watched the Broad Street Bullies. Bobby Clark checked this guy from St. Louis onto the glass, and his nose broke, and he was all bleeding. And my brother Billy was like, ew, what are you doing? Like staring at him. And Bobby caught Bobby Clark looked at my brother Billy and just started like laughing, like, uh oh. And then Billy just sat down, like, and we had an amazing night.
Wow. That is a. That I feel, I don't know if that's true or not. That's a very interesting story. You know, sometimes it gives it away a little when you say, like, your dog's name is Fluffy. I don't know.
Yeah, Fluffy is the
best. That sounds like made up, but that
is. Yeah, but when you have 10 kids, yeah. I feel like they're going to have a stupid name.
She ran out
of
names.
It is true. And nail. It's true. Everybody in the neighborhood took all the other good dog names, so.
Right.
I'm just kidding, imagine. But I forget.
But to get them all to agree on one, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I forget who was in charge of naming her. Fluffy. I didn't name her. She was just, I felt like she was mine, but because I was so little when we got her, but that dog had more friends than I did.
For me, it was hot dogs and hot chocolate.
Isn't that great? Hot night.
Yeah.
I don't eat hot dogs anymore, I'll tell you that.
Right.
Well, Rich,
there's no questions, no nothing.
No, we're gonna go to his story. Oh, you do his. Okay, go to your second story, and then we'll make decisions.
So both of my stories today are crime related.
So, and one is a real story.
One is a real thing that happened to me. One is not a real thing that happened to
okay.
me.
Okay, so you can stories. Pick what you want to do.
Yeah. So when I first moved here, I moved here for two job offers. One at William Morris in the agent training mailroom program.
Really?
I turned it down.
Wow.
For a job teaching the LSAT, which I did in classroom for 7 years. I taught the LSAT, and at 23 years old, I had no expenses. I was making $65 an hour. It was fantastic because not all people can do what I was doing. Like it's a hard. I had you to score in the 98th percentile for the LSAT. I scored a 171, which is the 98th percentile.
Wow!
I could have gone to a top 10 law school. I chose dick jokes instead. So I moved here, and I had my monthly nut was about $600 for my rent room, like rent and utilities, and I had a ton of extra cash. Like I was stacking money really, really fast. I was also really, really gullible when I first moved here. I wasn't the seasoned guy that I am now. The road-hardened, streetwise veteran that I've become. So I started doing comedy, and of course, when you first start doing comedy, especially in the Valley in 2008, you need a ton of scumbags. And I met this guy named Joey Gold, which is what he went by, Staten Island scumbag who would do. He was doing like bad dice impressions was like his entire act.
Uh-huh.
So he had this one. He had this one bit he would do. That was like, this is a poem, it's called Footprints. So Jesus and me is walking down by the beach, and I see two footprints, and I say, Jesus, what's that? And he goes, that's why I was carrying you along, helping you along the way. And I go, hey, Jesus, what's that back there where there's one footprint? And he goes, oh, that's when I was busy doing nothing about the Holocaust. Oh! Like, that was this guy's whole act.
That's amazing. Was this part of Jimmy and Joey?
No. He was a Jimmy at one point.
Wow. He's like a perfect candidate.
What Italian scumbag wasn't a Jimmy at some point in the Jimmy and Joey show? You're familiar with Jimmy and Joey?
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So,
well,
yeah.
They cast the one part a lot. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. One of them, the brother Joey Cerise, sweet guy, has been in that act since the beginning, since it was his actual brother.
Uh-huh.
And then he's recast Jimmy since his brother Jimmy quit like 15 times. I've seen it be actors. I've seen it be a puppet. At one point,
I've seen it on Craigslist, and I'm terrified.
Yeah. Oh, it's the fucking worst.
Okay.
So, like, for example, when I first met Joey, he asked to borrow $300 for his weed to start his weed selling business.
Okay.
And I gave it to him because I had.
Are you kidding?
I had
you
tons.
Gave him how much?
$300. I had tons, dude.
Wish I knew him.
Well,
when
first
he moved
of all, if you think that's crazy, wait until we get to the next part because if you think $300 is a bad amount to get fleeced when you're 23, 24, 25 years old, you're gonna shit your pants in a minute. So Joey Gold, complete fucking scumbag, fleeces me for $300. Of course, I don't learn my lesson because he's just like, oh, it's taken a long time to get to sell this weed is taking me a long time
to
get
the
money back.
Hard to sell weed in L.A.
So, yeah, right. Hard to sell weed in this town. So Joey tells me that he has a new scam going for me to get in on. And the scam is that there's like these low-level boxing matches where he can get the results just before the bookmaker here in town gets the results. We can learn the results, then make our bet 5 minutes before the bookmaker actually gets the results.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
How do you even start a conversation in that direction? Like, how does that kind of conversation come about?
All Joey talked about was some scummy way to make cash.
Okay.
Every conversation with him is a new scam and a new thing. And what con artists are great at is making you feel like you're in on the con. Okay. That's their whole thing, is they're always bringing you in. And he's always got a gig, and we've become friends. We've been doing comedy together for, I don't know, 9 months at this point. I'm also 9 months in, so I'm like giving advice to 3 month comics. You know, yeah. I'm brilliant. I've learned the ropes. I've learned the ropes there, kid. Why don't you stick with me and I'll show you Hollywood?
Why I oughta.
Oh, dude. I wish. If I had a time machine, I would just go back and punch myself in the mouth. I wouldn't do anything else.
I'm happy about that.
So Joey tells me he has a friend who his job is to send the results from these like regional untelevised boxing matches to the bookmaker. And what he can do is delay the results, get us the results first, and then we can go place a bet knowing the outcome and get paid off big time.
Right.
So we're not fixing a fight. We're sort of time traveling to get the results of the fight, so to speak. So I'm like, dude, I'm in. What do you want to do? And he keeps on trying to push me and push me. So this is where you're going to start feeling sick. He convinces me to put up $7,000
on this bet.
Now, I'm making $65 an hour. I'm 24 years old. I have no expenses, no girlfriend. I'm stacking money. At the point,
I still don't like you.
300. Yeah. Believe me.
You don't do drugs.
I wasn't doing drugs. The only habit I had was a completely sober decision. The only expense I had was I used to buy like $300 sneakers because I was a moron. You know, that's all I was spending money on. So I was like, yeah, this is a guaranteed way to make money. Let's go ahead and let's do this thing. So he takes me to this book place, like off legal gambling place in North Hollywood. And we get like a basement that we go down. It's like around kind of near the Haha where he worked doing sound at the. I met him doing when he was doing sound at the Haha, running shitty bringer show / open mic. So we go into this place downstairs, and it's like there's a bunch of people there. There's a bar. There's an actual like bookmaking cage on one side. People are hanging out, and we're like, cool. So we get, this is before smartphones, like you can't check stuff on the internet necessarily. Uh-huh. So we get the results, and he goes, cool, let's go make that bet right now. So we go there to make the bet, and right before we can make the bet, a fight breaks out. And so we're like trying to make the bet, and then the fight finishes, it gets cleared out, we go to make the bet, and it's already over. Like the results of the fight have already come in, so we can't bet the fight anymore.
Uh-huh.
So now we're like, oh shit, we're totally fucked. We missed it. But now I'm like, hey, you know what? We know we can do this though. Like, you've already shown me this is possible. And Joey's like, dude, I'm fucked. I'm so fucked. And I'm like, well, what's going on? He's like, dude, this is how I was gonna make rent this month. So I can't do it now. I cannot make my rent. And I'm like, oh, well, look, you've proven to me that we can get these results beforehand. Like, we can definitely do this. I'll float your rent this month. And yeah, exactly. So I didn't lose $7,000, but I did lose $1,200, which was the rent for his one-bedroom apartment.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm like, next week, I'm like, hey, let's do this. He's like, oh, sorry, man, I'm on the road. And he keeps on telling me that. I finally, like, just on my own, like, you know what? Let me just go back and hang out. This is a cool place. I go there, and there's nothing there. Like, the basement is empty. It was a set that people had set up to shoot like a casino scene.
Right.
And he'd had access to it because he knows the guy who runs the set.
Everybody Loves Raymond.
I got fucking totally, totally hardcore. Like he'd had a few friends come in to hang out that night because they were all going to split the cash they were making off of me.
Uh-huh.
And everything was fake. Nothing was actually, it was just a set someone had set up in North Hollywood to shoot a casino, like a little off-track betting scene.
Well, I have many questions.
Sure.
So many.
Yeah, like how long did he talk to you about trying to do this score where he had access to that set?
Not long. It was like a week. He was like, hey, we got to go ahead and do this, man. I have like a guy on the inside. We'll get it taken care of. So this is what Joey Gold was always doing. Every single week was a new money-making thing.
But you think if that was a place that was set up just to fool you and other people.
It wasn't set up just to fool me.
And others.
No, it was a set for an actual shoot. Like someone had been, this one had been planning to shoot like a little, because they'd set up.
Were you playing an extra and didn't know it?
No, it was a normal bar. It was a normal like downstairs bar, but they had set up like the fake casino cage on the side. And they'd been shooting there, but he had after hours access to it and got a few of his friends to come in and just pretend. And they were going
to
split my cash.
Oh, so he got his friends to pretend.
Yeah, it was just a few other scumbag Italians that he knew who were just all there. There was like a couple in one corner having drinks. And there was a guy pretending to be the thing.
Well, that seems stupid that he wouldn't just have taken your $7,000. I'm finding holes.
Well, because again, here's the idea behind any good scam. It's that the scam isn't the thing right in front of you. Because here's the thing, he couldn't take the $7,000 because we had the news already that we were going to win. You know what I'm saying? So if I made the bet,
sure thing.
And then we had a sure thing. If we got the news, hey, he already won, I make the bet, I'm sitting there going, hey, where's my money? We won the bet. They have to pay me right then. So what he was doing was pushing me off. It's a, I mean, this is actually a classic fucking scam. And next thing you know, I'm out $1,200.
I can't even get one person to back me up on a lie. Like, I am a...
I'm just not a good liar, but also I've never been so happy to grow up as an inner city kid hearing that.
Well, I'm a suburban kid from Sacramento. It's to gross. Me, people like tell the truth. It took me a long time to figure out that people were fucking scumbags.
Well, there's no liars in Sacramento.
There's just like,
yeah, I worked the
worst. Well, first of all, Tommy T's is not Sacramento. That's stab you in the face,
one in
Roseville.
Sacramento.
Yeah, no, that's out.
It's out. Okay.
Yeah, no, that's not Sacramento. That's
it
real
Sacramento.
Oh yeah. Well, you want to market with the high class city, not with like the scumbag city.
Wow. Well, that's definitely something to think about when we make our choices later. So, Eleanor, what's your second story?
I don't know. I'm like wrestling with which one to tell. But I mean, we were talking about dating older guys, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I didn't like. Don't judge a bitch. I had a boyfriend from ninth grade all the way to like when I moved here, so
oh shit,
I was 21, something like
oh,
that.
Oh wow.
Yeah, we would fight on and off, stupid shit, break up because I wanted to go to a club over the weekend or something.
He's
but
the one that gave you that jacket that you wear all the time?
Oh no, that's my brother Jimmy's jacket. Okay. He had a nightclub, his best friend had a nightclub, and my brother Jimmy with the hands, he wanted to be Hans McGee, wanted to be a bouncer, so his best friend owned it, and he would let Jimmy break people's faces outside. So some of the jackets have blood on them, but this one's fine. And so, yeah, that's Jimmy's jacket. But so we were dating on and off, and we would break up a lot. And there was this, I don't know how to say it right, but a guy I was in love with. Still am to this day. Right. Absolutely.
Not
head
the
over
boyfriend.
Heels. Uh-uh.
Okay.
And my best friend used to say to me, what if, like, you know how guys play, would you do this? Would you do that? My best friend would always do it. What if he asked you out and said, I want to marry you right now? What would you do? And I'm like, I would do that. I would marry him right now. She's like, oh my God, you've been with Mario. My boyfriend's name was Mario. You've been with Mario for 4 years. You would just leave him? I'm like, yeah, in a second. He would mean nothing to me. And I know that's horrible, but it's true. And I still still carry a torch for this guy, even though he's gone. But so what happened was that scenario came true. And we were in a club, and we hooked up. And
in the club, you had sex? Or what does this mean?
No, like we ran into each other, and I would get so nervous around him. Like I would talk to him and be like, like a girl. Like I was never a girl around anybody.
Right.
But this guy could make me a girl. And I would giggle in like the word. It was terrible. It was so embarrassing. My other friend, Melissa, she would laugh hysterically because I could barely speak. I was like her toughest friend. I handled every situation, no problem. But around him, I would just melt. That was it. I had no control. And so we hooked up. And then like after the club, we went to this hotel. I forgot the name of it. I want to call it the... Anyway, it's a creepy hotel. It's like a motel, like before the freeway entrance. I don't know why I'm thinking you guys...
Motel 6 even, or something. I know.
Like you guys could even see Penrose Avenue. You know what I mean? Like, you don't know that. But anyway, so this creepy little place, why I ever went there, I knew my brothers would go there, and that's where they would take, like, hookers. And I was like, all right. And I went with him, and we had sex.
Did
like, but I was already with somebody else. Like, I was sleeping with Mario. He was my first. Mario right. was my first. So,
first and only at that
first
point?
First and only at that point. Uh-huh. Yeah. And I'm, at this point, I'm 19, 20. So, we go, I was like, oh my God, this is it. He loves me. And I knew he was a player, but I didn't take him for a player like that he would do it to me for some reason. Cause mm-hmm. I was like, he's going to feel how much I love him.
I get that.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Women. This is the only problem with being a woman is we don't think
you're
rationally.
Right, that is the only problem. Right. The only challenge that you ever have.
It's so true. Everything else we're so good with. So easy. But a stupid fucking guy. Anyway.
So then what happened?
So we hooked up.
I'm like, shut up. Then what happened, Eleanor? What happened?
Tell me what happened. Did you get bed bugs?
Hey, no. Tell a story slower, please.
And then, and then really off? Fast. And then slow again. And then really, really fast.
In and out. But yeah, so we hooked up. And then I thought, okay. At that point, me and Mario broke up because we were one of our weekend breakups. And so I was like, I'm never getting back with him. And already he's at my mother's house. I would go out, come home at like 3 in the morning, and he'd be at my mom's house playing video games with my brother.
Mario would be. Yeah.
So one night I showed up, and it was after with this guy. Oh, uh-huh. I almost said his name. Mother of God. And so I showed up at my mom's house. It had to be 4:30.
Uh-huh.
My mother's house looks like Madison Avenue. All the lights are on. I'm like, the fuck? It's 4:30. All the lights are on. Mario's in there. My brother Bobby, Charlie, Billy, they're all playing video games. I'm like, shit. How am I going to walk in? He's going to know. And he's not a gangster like the other guy, but uh-huh. he's got some anger. And so I'm like, oh, this is it. This is bad. I'm in trouble. I'm a terrible liar. So I'm like, I'm not doing this. I'm not. So I just walked down. I fell asleep at my friend Melissa's house. That was my big lie. And I didn't want to wake my mom coming in, you know, uh-huh. To let her know I stayed at Melissa's because my mom hates Melissa. Anyway, so I go. Now it's like weeks later. The other guy, nothing. Like I didn't exist. Nothing. We fooled around. We had what I thought was a magical night.
Was aww. A sex kid?
I can't believe a young amazing. Man did this.
I know. This is the only. This is where. But
you
I was 19. I wasn't fucking.
She go to the suburbs. Everyone's honest.
I wasn't 19. I wasn't 23. That's lending out $7,000.
That's a very good point. That's
I gave up
point.
A little pussy for a gorgeous
I lost
man.
$1,200 plus the $300 for the weed. All right. Yeah.
If you Google this guy after the show, I'm going to Google it. You're going to see how gorgeous he is.
I'll be like, you know,
I have his picture on my phone.
I'll let him take
anyway,
my virginity. Fine.
Still to this day.
So I do. I know I'm obsessed. Anyway, so he
was
nothing.
It really magical though? Was it the sex?
Beautiful for
really,
me.
Really.
But now looking back, uh-huh. I'm like, for me it was. For him, he was probably just.
Yeah.
You know, I hate to say it like that, but I have six brothers. He was just. Releasing one out of the chamber. Nothing. But okay. It was passionate. Like, it was. I swear. And then nothing. And, you know, there's no texting and shit like that. This is 90, 91. Because then I moved here right after. I moved here when I was 21. Because I was so upset about this.
So when you went into the house, what did Mario say?
So we fought. He believed me that I fell asleep at Melissa's. We then called Melissa. She immediately backed me up. That's how tight. But she didn't know where I was. And then I told her. And then I was telling them that this is awful. So every day we would walk by his neighborhood to find what the hell is going on, you know? And he was older. He was like 4 years older. And he was kind of connected. So I was like, maybe he went to jail. Like anything's possible, right? Maybe he got killed. And so we kept going by, nothing. Then I started getting real sick.
Uh-oh.
I was pregnant.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't have this kid. Like, I mean, I could pretend it's Mario's, but what do I do?
Right.
And so I didn't.
Oh, man.
Damn. Why? What happened?
I'm crying. It's so funny.
Leave it to Eleanor to really give us.
I never said it on a podcast, okay? I had an abortion. Is that a terrible thing?
We assumed this with your stage material.
Wait,
but
I show you a picture.
Of she's supposed to picture of my dad.
I feel like we broke Eleanor.
You guys were believing her, and I'm like, what the fuck?
But I don't know. I'm not good at, like, I never talked about that. Like, I never talked about why I had. I've talked about having an abortion, but I never said why.
Right.
So I didn't say his name. I didn't say any name.
No, you didn't.
My mom's okay. Not going to listen to this.
All right.
You didn't talk about any bridges. You're good.
Okay. Right. So, I'm sick to my stomach.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
I'm for one, shocked and appalled by this story. If he'd just been in the suburbs, none of this would have happened.
Oh, no abortions in the suburbs. Oh,
no, God. Never.
My too apologies, no, but that's the funniest thing you've ever said in your entire life.
Felicia, that's why I love you.
That was just like, look at her go fucking deep. Anyway, so, and what's your second story?
Yeah, what's your shit?
Oh, what's my shit? All
deep
right.
Rubbed out.
So, every summer, my grandfather, my mom's side, in his old age, he moved to Montana. He had a very wealthy friend who owned a ranch in the Madison Valley, which is where they shot A River Runs Through It. Uh-huh. It's one of the most beautiful parts of the entire country. And my grandfather wasn't rich, so he bought a small 800 square foot one room or like one bedroom house in the small mining town of Pony, Montana, population about 120. Ugh. Where the only things that you can do there are get addicted to drugs or to God. That's it. Those are the two things that you do. And we would go out there every summer to visit him. I spent every summer there from 8 years old on, pretty much. And I would get to know the neighborhood kids. There were a bunch of houses where you get to be friends with, and you'd be there for a few weeks and hang out, do whatever. My grandpa passed away when I was 12 and left my parents the house. So we would go out there and make the drive from Sacramento to Montana, going through Jackpot, Nevada, every single summer. So one summer, the summer of 1999, I am 15 going on 16 that summer.
It's like a song.
You are 15 going on 16. I needed someone to take care of me. Really, I did. So
the Von Trapp family singers. Nothing.
That was already a really tough summer. That summer, my synagogue, amongst three others, was firebombed by some white supremacists. And I was actually, part of the reason why we left the state early was because the ATF and FBI had called, my picture had been on the paper in Sacramento, sifting through the ashes of my synagogue, and the FBI and ATF had called my parents to warn me that they caught the guys, the two brothers who did it, but that my name was on a hit list, like a list of targets from these two brothers, that they were like, well, we're going to go on a killing rampage now to back up our big burning down all the synagogues thing. So they're like, you guys should probably not be in town for a while. So we're like, let's go to Montana a week early. So I'm already like, I'm 15 going on 16. I'm hitting my rebellious stage, you know, staying out late with young Nazis, you know, all the fun stuff. And this summer we get there, and one of my favorite people who lived around, like, and there's no around the corner, but like 100 feet down the dirt road from my grandfather, there was this girl, Sam, who lived there, who was my growing up childhood crush every summer. They'd moved away and been replaced by a woman with a foster family. And the foster family, all the kids were Montana foster kids. Uh-huh. So already take foster family to begin with, which is already going to be a little rough and tumble. And then add that you're in a state, the population of 1 million, but it's the third biggest state in the entire country. So it's a lot of trouble. And I started hanging out with them all the time. One of them, we went into his, like, to the wood shop, and he helped me make my first wooden pipe. Like, I made my own pipe that I then brought home and, like, used at rock, like, 98 rock radio concerts here in LA, or here back in Sacramento. And, but one of our favorite things we would do is every other night we would, because his mom was never around. Like, the foster parents were just gone. It was just the foster kids all the time. They would fight. They would throw, like, tools at each other. One of my friends once had it, like, got hit in the head with a hammer that his sister threw at him. It was that was the fun stuff. That was the easy one he took. Our favorite game every night was to, when his parents were gone, we would turn off all the lights in the house and put on Rob Zombie and White Zombie music as loud as possible. And we had this, like, sneak and fight kind of, there was, like, a one part of the house you try to catch this, like, sort of like a Capture the Flag at night, but a violent version of Capture the Flag with no lights and hardcore metal playing the entire time. Needless to say, I loved it. I really was really enjoying my summer. So I was in a Limp Bizkit at the time.
I'm not buying any of this.
I was in a Limp Bizkit at the time. I used to wear my hat backwards, my red cap backwards, like I was Fred Durst.
That's believable.
Oh yeah, I used to wear two wallet chains down to my knees. I was fucking cool for 1999 new metal scene. Mm-hmm. I was in it, right? So there was this guy, Justin, who was one of the older foster kids, and he was probably about 3 years older than me. He was half Native American. I don't remember what tribe it was, but some tribe in the Montana area. I think it might have been Blackfoot. And one day, he and I got really close that summer. One day, we come home from going to the town diner, the one diner that was 15 miles away, and there are about 8 or 9 police cars surrounding the house. And my mom says, do not go over there. Don't go over there and talk to them. So I don't. But then Justin comes to the fence and talks to me, like comes over to our place. And I'm like, what the fuck's going on, man? He goes, well, it turns out that my foster mother was cooking meth in the basement and using some of my foster siblings to help with the cooking. And she just got busted. So I have no idea what's going to happen next. But I'm just waiting to find out. They have her in the car already. And of course, my mom comes out, sees me talking to him. She gets furious. She's like, I told you not to go over there, not to talk to him. I'm like, no, you told me not to go over there. You didn't tell me not to talk to them. I talked to him here. That night, for the first time, we always had Friday night dinners together. Being Jews, we'd always have a Friday night Shabbos dinner. That was the first one we missed in like a decade. Like, she was so furious with me for being anywhere near this crime that was happening around the corner. The next day, he comes over and goes, hey, this is batshit. Like, she's in jail. I don't want to go back in the system. Like, I'm already 18 years old, but they'll keep me in the system for a while. It might have been 17. I want to get out of here, and I think my dad is over at the reservation. Can you guys help me out? And
I can you give me $1,200 for rent?
Yeah, right. Can you tell me? Well, so he tells us, he's like, look, I'm not asking you to drive me to the reservation. It's really far away, but if you can get me to, there's like one highway that goes that direction, like towards northern Idaho. If you guys can get me there, get me to that freeway, and I will hitchhike the rest of the way. And I beg my mom. She won't listen to me, so I beg my dad. He says yes. So we drive into Three Forks, which is another town, like one over. On the way to Three Forks, we let him off at the off-ramp, and he gets down. Last I saw Justin was he was just walking down the highway, thumb out, and I never saw him again. That was the summer of 1999.
First off, Rich has one of those voices that, at first, I think everything you say is a lie.
Right? By the way, this is Fluffy. Fluffy. Fluffy.
Okay. Fluffy's real.
Fluffy.
Let me show a picture of Joey Gold.
Yes.
That would help. For,
guys, can you send us those pictures? We'll put them up.
Yeah. I'm just totally serious. Not this next one I'm going to show you. Okay.
Yeah, I think Joey's got warrants, so I don't really want to send you
his.
His
giant hand, is it?
he quit comedy not long after that.
Who did this Joey Gold?
Joey Gold,
character?
He quit comedy not long after it because he got, well, he went in for like some sort of wire fraud for a while. Like,
oh, I believe
his girlfriend
that.
Told us that he just like was sick or like leaving town for row work. And we all found out later that like he was doing 2 to 3 for some sort of wire fraud. So.
Well, I am going to say, if you don't mind, I'll go ahead. I can't.
It's hard to peg.
The way. With
Joey
your...
Gold. Look at that scumbag.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Look at that.
Rich does tell a good story, though.
Yeah,
I gotta
but
be honest. You're a good storyteller.
I think when he was telling the second story that he was jumping around a little bit too much in the storyline, and that to me, I heard that as a nervous storyteller, so I'm going to say the second story is a lie.
Okay.
And
I'm going to say, actually, because I feel like we've talked about a little bit of that second story, you and I at the back door, I think the meth thing is real.
Interesting.
I think Joey Gold is false.
There's Joey Gold circa when he pulled this scam on me.
I bet you knew a Joey Gold.
Let me see.
Yeah, absolutely.
He doesn't
but
look
I
familiar.
But I think the meth thing is real.
You think the meth thing is real?
I do.
Wow. All right.
Is now, Eleanor going to guess too? Or
no,
is this the
I'm
YouTube
not
guess?
Guessing. No, you guys
I guess for you. So now we'll go to Eleanor. What do you think about Eleanor's story?
It was odd seeing Eleanor with a heart.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
This is one of the sweetest people at the comedy store.
Bullshit.
I'm defending you here.
Thank you. Yeah. Appreciate it, Rich. I appreciate it.
But she doesn't
it.
Get sappy.
You know what? Just for that, I'm not going to
tell
you which one was my
it's
life.
It's been a tough week.
How quiet she got on that
yeah,
the tail end
down
of
this
the abortion
week. I mean, it was
story.
A lot.
Right.
Poor
was
Fluffy.
Like,
poor
imagine
Fluffy.
If she was still alive.
That was tricky, right?
But I am so...
1,000-year-old dog.
I can't even say the word. Skeptible.
Skeptible.
I'm with you.
That I feel like... I could be wrong. I'm going to get this all wrong this time, but I think the abortion thing is real and that the sleigh to hot dogs and hot chocolate is fake.
Just because you're... And here's the thing, because she...
Either way, a wiener was involved.
What is that?
I like that you kept bringing up hot and hot. Hot chocolate, and, hot dog,
well,
whatever.
Such a weird combo.
It is.
Who's like, I'm going to have a hot dog. What do we want to have with it? Hot chocolate.
Well,
hot.
I have kids, so I believe that concept of it. I believe the your mom took you guys to go get hot chocolate
hot.
And hot dogs because 10 fucking kids. I would take them through hell if there was a little swimming pool at the end of it. You know what I mean? Right.
That's just a really good point.
That's interesting. Yeah. That's a
taking advantage of the free food opposite.
So I'm going to say that story is real, but I'm sorry. I couldn't buy the abortion thing when you got all quiet at the end.
I'm not. Go ahead. Whatever.
Okay. No, I'm not gonna say, I hope I'm not wrong.
Can I give you my evaluation of this?
Okay. Sure.
Okay. Here's what I thought. Because when I heard the hot dog story, it sounded way too happy for it to be one of her family stories. It was like really like everyone's loving this.
Right.
Good,
it was a good happy
ending. A good thing that happened. Like I never heard Eleanor tell a good thing that happened story before.
Yeah, but she prefaced it by saying that her and her family likes to tell stories about how hardships they went through.
Well, but here's what's interesting is when you made that point of. If you have 10 kids, you're going to take advantage of any opportunity like that.
Oh, yeah.
That, I think, was a really excellent point. I really was on, at first, I thought the second story was total bullshit because there was too many voices and it was just, there was all these different pieces coming. But then the second story, she started peppering it in with all these like little aside details. Like, right. I'm not supposed to go to Mary's house. She's a whore or whatever the thing was. I don't remember
Melissa.
The name of it. Melissa, yeah.
I didn't say she was a whore.
She
whatever,
said she
my
was
mom,
tight.
Didn't like
mom didn't like her. Mom didn't like her. Which, you know, your mom probably thought she was a whore. I'm just going to, I don't know.
No.
What, I don't know what
That's
your mom.
That's not why.
That's not why. She's like, there's reasons why.
There's not the reasons.
There's reasons. I'm actually going to join.
And I feel like your mom would have been like, fucking kids, get to the rink and get those free hot dogs.
So here's actually my guess, is that both stories are true. The first one actually happened to her. The second one happened to someone she knows. That's my guess.
Ooh. Wow.
I like good, that. Good one. I like that. Yeah.
Right. I know I'm not supposed to guess, but I felt like
I like that you guessed. It. I mean, I think your first one was so ridiculous that it's true, and the second one isn't.
Okay.
Good.
When do we reveal these secrets?
Right now.
That's just
Please,
what
I'm
I
dying.
Pick.
Yeah, Eleanor, what's your...
I don't like meth labs.
Fair enough.
So, Eleanor, what's the truth and what's the lie?
The first one was true. The second one was total bullshit.
Okay. Yes! Because I was going to look like a complete piece of shit if I was crying.
I was
laughing.
But here's the thing. I won't. He hit the nail on the head because it happened to my best friend.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I couldn't think of anything terrible.
I run a show about criminals. I can tell how it goes.
But you know what was worse about that story is I had to take my friend for her, I think, third abortion.
Did you hear me say third, by the way? Did you hear
and
me just nail
the
that?
Other two were his. So the guy she was with, that she's still with today.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And the other was, just one was a
rando.
Do they
have kids together now?
They have one kid together. They've been together since they were 13 years old.
Wow.
12 or 13.
Yeah, that one, they just missed the appointment. It wasn't even on purpose.
So you never had a boyfriend for that long?
I did. Married
for
7 years.
That part
go out for a long time.
Yeah, that seems to be a theme that people are doing. Like, they make a lot of it kind of real.
Right.
So they can...
Well, how
good
else
lie.
Are you going right. to... Yeah.
But that's what makes
a good
liars.
A good lie has pieces of truth.
Right.
Yeah.
True. I am looking for a picture of that guy I was in love with, though. That part was real. There is still a guy to this day that I'm in love with.
Okay.
So go ahead, Rich.
Go ahead. What is your true story and what is your lie?
The true story is the Montana story. Every single piece of that story is absolutely true. My synagogues were firebombed. I was on a hit list by a white supremacist group. We went to Montana and they were like, "Hey, are you not around? Because they might try to kill you."
See, this one was more my wheelhouse.
There was the foster kids, Justin playing the weird game of tag with Rob Zombie on, all 100% true. And
wow.
The last time I saw Justin was letting him go onto a freeway and watching him hitchhike his way to what I think was the Blacklight Reservation.
Did you ever Google his name?
I don't remember his last name.
Oh wow. How old were you when that happened?
15 going on 16. We've already been through the song.
Oh shit, that's right. Yeah. I'm busy looking for a picture of the love of my life.
The Joey Gold story, there's elements of truth. Joey Gold is a real person and a real scumbag that I used to be friends with in the comedy world. He did take me through for $300 for weed, but the whole the whole fake fight fixing scam is a real scam run by one of my favorite con men, Joseph Weil, a.k.a. the Yellow Kid, but he ran it back in the 1920s.
Does that mean he's Asian?
Yes, he's a white Asian guy.
Okay.
No Asian whatsoever. The Yellow Kid was nicknamed after a comic strip where someone thought he looked like a character called the Yellow Kid from a comic strip back then.
Oh.
But Joseph Weil used to run that scam with horse racing. At the time, Western Union would get the results of horse racing. There was something called the Gold Line, where then they would get the results, and then Western Union would send the results to all the bookmakers across the country. And they set up a giant fake scam where they faked that they knew the guy who was on the Gold Line, and that he could delay the results long enough for them to
place bets
before they came
Shit.
Out. And this, but the scam wasn't the fake bet. The scam was, like I was saying before, the scam was get the person to believe that you can make the fake bet, but have the first one fail so they don't get, have to get paid off.
Right.
But then get them to loan you a bunch of money on the front end, right. so that they can, so like to float you until the next time. And then once they loan you the money, ghost. That right. was the actual scam.
I was
Joseph
in court
Weil
all morning this morning.
Say
because
what?
My property manager stole all this money from the landlord.
Happens all the time.
Yeah.
Happened to me
it's
too.
It's bad. Like $14,000 I think he's gotten.
Wow.
If not more.
Wow.
You can hear more about Joseph Weil, a.k.a. the Yellow Kid, on episode 49 of Crime with Rich Slayton and John Jesse. That's Crime with Three Eyes, episode with Kyle Clark.
This is the guy I was
Clark.
In love with.
Of course you were.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Looks like a young
looks
Steve
evil.
Simone.
Yeah. Looks evil.
Steve Simone.
Kind of.
Wow. No well, this has been a interesting, very man. Interesting. I can't believe how good liars are.
Like, I'm a terrible liar, Avi. And I'm glad you picked up on that.
You did make me laugh hard, Eleanor. I haven't laughed hard like that in a long time.
I couldn't think of how I could end it. And then I was like, and then I didn't. And I thought it was dramatic.
You should have seen the faces of you three. You guys were enthralled, like, an abortion.
I know. I thought we really cracked
Eleanor. Like, shut up, bitch.
Like, finally. She's going to open up to us. This is a moment.
No. You totally bought into it.
I felt some buying. I didn't feel it this way, but I felt
I was
it.
Trying
you
to
felt me buying that story?
Okay. No. No, I didn't think anybody was buying it.
I did.
I thought it was terrible.
Wow. Well, thank you guys for coming by and taking time out of your busy schedules. And good luck with you on your podcast. I'm going to start listening to it. It sounds fantastic. And Eleanor, would you? Is there anything you would like to shout out that you have coming up?
Do the Comedy Store podcast when we can get it up. that's a long story. That's not an ED joke. That. but yes, that's my friend laughing because he's going to help.
And how can people follow you?
Whenever they want. I'm always out. I'm kidding. I don't know. What's my thing? EJ Kerrigan? Or I'm terrible at
that sounds about right.
What's my thing?
Eleanor Kerrigan? You can fucking Google it. It's not like Slayton's bullshit right. stories.
Okay,
just Google
follow
me.
Eleanor yeah. Kerrigan at Twitter and on Facebook. But you're quite a bit on Twitter, I see. Yeah.
Do I? Yeah. No, I just post shows. I stink at social media. I'm trying, guys.
And how about yourself?
Don't even worry about following me. Follow my show at CrimePod, CRIIMPOD, for your crime updates of all sorts, because we are in the world of
yes.
criminal activity. So
yeah. That's awesome.
That's the place
good
to be.
For you. Yeah,
it's
wonderful.
A great podcast. I did
wonderful.
It.
Yeah, Eleanor was fantastic.
We had
super
fun on that one.
Wonderful.
Right.
And you can follow me at Felicia Michaels, and
I'm at Jess Wellington, too.
And
what's
thank
with
you.
The two, man?
There's other Jessica Wellingtons. It's fucking mommy and me bitches doing their stupid crafts.
I never think of having a nickname.
All right. If they're arts and crafts. Right.
Well, this has been Liars Club, and you guys have been lied to.
You can follow Eleanor on Twitter at EJ Kerrigan, KERRIGN.
And please follow Rich Slayton on Twitter at MMA Comic. Or follow his podcast at Crime Pod, P-O-D, and that's Crime with Three Eyes, Crime Pod.
Hello, ladies and gentle sirs. This is Andrew Rose, the producer of The Liars Club. I just wanted you lovely folks to follow our awesome hosts, and that would be Jessica Wellington and Felicia Michaels, and you can follow them on Twitter at Felicia Michaels, F-E-L-I-C-I-A, and Jess Wellington 2. That is the number 2. Yeah.
Here at the Liars Club, of course, Felicia and I do all the work, but we couldn't put it together if it wasn't for the lovely producer and comedian Andrew Rose. Thank you to him, and please follow him on Twitter at 1AndrewRose. That's the number 1 Andrew Rose on Twitter.
Thanks, guys, for coming by and sharing your stories with us here at the Liars Club.
And you've been lied to.